And then the balance of the payments would be used for any exigent or important needs of the national office, and that there would be discussion both with the ICFO and the NFC regarding those priorities. But the set aside for at least half of it, that's how I understood the motion anyway. Others will probably argue with me about this, and that's fine. They can.
I recall some of what you're saying.
Yeah, Bill was instrumental in this whole thing. I couldn't come up with a wording that night. It was kind of put together. We wrote it on the fly. But so Bill was actually the guy who was doing all the typing during this. If you can make it quick, Bill, that would be good, because I want to circle back to Nancy.
Okay, the problem with it in general is that, yeah, in general, if all the stations were paying all their expenses and we didn't have all this, you know, accumulating accounts payable, then bequests and windfall revenue should be going to pay debt and maybe even like start a building fund for the station or something like that. But when we have to first pay these debts to keep things going, to keep us operating, that's the problem.
That is indeed.
Because of central services not being there when we need them, because they're not having enough central services.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Nancy? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I think Sharon thinks that she's in disagreement with me, but I think she's actually in agreement with me, because that's exactly what I was suggesting. If there are fees associated with something that a station did, such as the one she described about Netta's extra fees, then we should have a policy that those are the responsibility of the station. But if it was something that was not the station's doing or decision, then if it was national office's decision, then maybe it should be the national office's expense. I don't know why she's taking issue with what I said.
Well, this is Sharon. I got my call. This is Sharon for the staff again, and I got my phone just cut me off there. I just think that's a logistical nightmare. I mean, Pacifica can't do the most simple thing and make the most simple decision. And so to have some situation where we're going to start evaluating everything about whether it gets attributed back to a station, that's just like a recipe for constant fighting. And that's why I'm saying it's not productive to look at it that way. That was my point.
Well, if we had a policy on it up front, and stations knew that, certain expenses were going to be their responsibility, or national office knew that certain expenses were going to be their responsibility, then they would think twice about, decisions that they make.
Well, if I could respond again. I mean, the real issue comes down to, being able to pay. So if somebody's going to incur an expense, like running up fees at Netta, but they're not going to be able to pay it back anyway, is that really fair when another station may be able to pay back the expense? You see what I'm saying? It's like it just gets too complicated. And just, we can't even pay our basic bills. That's what we need to focus on, is how can we increase revenue and what do we need to do to pay our bills? Mm-hmm. And having these kind of internal discussions is not productive and just wastes time and doesn't allow things to go forward.
Okay.
Paul, did you ask to be on the SEC? I think you did.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. One, the motion passed by the PNB about bequests, that was not the motion that the NFC had sent to the PNB, which I believe.
No, it isn't.
Okay. So there's another motion that the PNB passed about bequests. Could that please be sent to the NFC?
Sure, absolutely.
It's something that can go to the public, isn't it?
I can't think why not. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah,
it should be part of the public record.
Yeah, yes. If we could get that, that would be good, so everybody knows. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so we're out of time for this item unless somebody wants to extend. It doesn't seem like we're going to be able to actually get to the kind of conclusion that I think Lyndon would like to see tonight. If for no, well, you might disagree with me, Lyndon. If you want to come up with a proposal, we can vote on it. I would like NEDA to actually review the number that they actually need. I mean, like I say, Anita did give me a ballpark figure of 1.5. I just didn't feel super comfortable with that. But if you feel that we don't really need that number, then go ahead and make some sort of a motion and we can vote on it.
Okay. I don't think we need that number right now.
Okay.
To do our first step. So I move that we, calculate the central services formula based on a 3-year moving average where we, do I have to say that we drop 12 months and put 12 months on?
No, a moving average
okay,
covers that.
A three year moving average that is a portion of the total, each station's portion of the total listener support.
Okay. And what percentage of that? Or do we want to add that later? We can add that later.
No, KPFT's support is this, is X. And the total of all five stations is X plus Y plus Z plus, you know, whatever. And so you do that math. I mean, it's that simple. Now, whether we have a one-month lag or a no-month lag, I don't, you know, if we have a one-month lag, I don't think it's going to matter because, say, you're $1,000 off from your from what you had budgeted. I don't think that's consequential. Some people may disagree. If we can get our accounting in line so that we can do it with there's no lag, then even better. But I'm not anticipating that. I'm not even sure I don't need to put it in motion. We can just, if you will send the numbers, well, maybe I have the numbers already. If you give me the latest numbers you have, I will do the formula and we'll send it out. And then we can talk about, based on $1.6 million, do we think each station has a chance of paying that number? And if we come up to the determination that, no, we don't think this station or that station can pay, then we're going to have to make some decisions. And that's
James, with a request for information.
Go ahead.
My question would be, is that when we would discuss whether or not we could adjust the formula for overhead expenses like the tower rent in New York? In other words,
I think that's what Lyndon's suggesting, yes.
Rather than do it now, do it then. And can we put something? Yeah, okay. If that's in the resolution, I'll go for it, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Could I point out what I have? I mean, are we really making a motion now, or are we saying Lyndon's going to bring in something specific to the next meeting?
If I get the total revenue, I don't know if Chris is going to send out something else.
I'm sending you the listener revenue right now, Lyndon.
Okay.
It should be on its way to you.
Okay. I will send y'all something tomorrow that will give the percentages. And so that's a starting point.
Okay. All right. I think we made actually quite a bit of headway on this tonight.
There's no motion.
More than I thought we would.
Right?
It doesn't sound like it. I mean, other than what we discussed. Yeah, no formal motion. Is that right, Lyndon? Is that all right with you?
That's correct.
Okay, great. All right, hang on a second. I need to pull up the agenda again. I've been sending emails to Lyndon. There it is.
CNL
got it.
Discussion
okay.
From chair continued.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. So I sent out an attempt at reconciling the books that I got wasn't a spreadsheet. I got a PDF from Berthold after he spoke to us. And I went through it as carefully as I could and tried to get his numbers to line up with the NEDA numbers. And there's a bunch of stuff that you know, that BAI has been arguing about for quite a while, that's resting on their books. And that made some sense to me in that the expense structure of that station has changed significantly since the settlement. And there's quite a bit of what I was calling extraordinary expenses that were lying on those books. And so I just pulled those out as extraordinary expenses. And then there's a bunch of probably accrual items, although I need to speak to the one piece of the puzzle that's missing right now is that I still haven't spoken to Bertolt about the items that appear to be missing from his report. I'm assuming right now that, as Bill mentioned earlier, they're probably items, but it may be something else too. Like, for example, election expenses are not present on that report, but they are present on the NIDA report. So just answers to questions like that will help me get this thing a little bit tighter, and maybe hopefully we can reach some sort of agreement about what the operating numbers are of that station. That's always the biggest concern, right? You want to know if your expenses are overrunning your revenues. You want to know what that number is so you can figure out how to either adjust your revenues or adjust your expenses. Without that number, it's not, those numbers aren't really operational. They might work for bookkeeping, but it doesn't really help you run a station. So, and I think that should probably be the goal of the NFC, is to help the individual units run their stations. That was certainly my reading of the bylaws was definitely that's what our purpose was. So I'm trying to get us to the point where we can at least agree on what those numbers are. And so that was kind of my first major stab at it. And if there's things in there that either you don't understand or that look glaringly wrong, especially those of you who are familiar with WBAI's operations, I'd appreciate it if you'd write me personally and give me some feedback and just let me know. But I feel like I'm, you know, the get close at this point. It's not, we're not $700,000 different at this juncture. It's more like, $70,000 or $50,000 or $30,000, something south of $100,000 at this point in difference that I can see. And I'll just keep hammering it out until, we're reasonably sure that it's working. Now, the next big question is, and I'm really reluctant to do this, is as anybody who's emailed me knows, and I'm sure some of you are getting frustrated with me at this point, but I'm really reluctant to just throw the P&Ls out there. But I did get a confirmation from Anita tonight that that the figures, the little changes and adjustments that people have been suggesting they make to the books have been implemented already. So some of this stuff, like the rentless question, was actually kind of a red flag to me right away. You know, it came up a couple times in conversation, and I knew that there was something a little bit funny about it, and it turned out that the 4 months of tower rent was lying in the rent category, which is not where it belonged. That should just be the building rent for the station, and so that had to be pulled out and put into, I think, the where it went into was programming. So anyway, stuff. And there was also $20,000 in consulting fees that needed to go to elections, and there's just little categorization problems. And I think the lesson here for everyone, especially people that are listening and not digging around with these numbers, is that there's, you know, unless you're really familiar with the operations of an individual unit, it's hard to pick apart these details. Accountants, I with the businesses I operate, I do it all the time. You know, they put something in the wrong category. They don't know. They don't know the operation of the business. So you have to tell them. It's not a big deal if you know how the business runs and you know what the expense category is. You know, oh, that wasn't for tools. That was for, you know, that was for building materials or something, you know, and you just move it and get it in the right category, and it helps everything make sense. So hopefully we're getting a lot closer on that stuff, and hopefully we'll all reach a point where at least the BAI portion is something we can agree on, and then I'll just move on to the next thing and keep working my way down the list until there's, like, not any disagreement. But in the meantime, The question is, the thing I wanted to ask all of you is, should I just go ahead and send those adjusted P&Ls from September 30th out at this point with the minor corrections that are already made, knowing full well that we'll probably get a lot more questions that'll need answer because the auditors haven't got their hands on those books yet, or should I just do a condensed version of those things that you know, kind of keeps the detail until some of this stuff gets washed out? I honestly have definite mixed feelings about it, or I wouldn't even bother asking, but I've been getting some push to get this in the public. And so I figured that, it was my responsibility to at least, air it here at the NFC meeting. So go ahead, Bill.
Fred.
Oh, gotcha.
Fred.
Okay, James. Okay.
You know, I'm not sure if you're talking about updated ones from NEDA, but NEDA needs to make sure, share your information with NEDA. We need to get from NEDA an updated spreadsheet P&L that includes accrued expenses, not cash flow. The cash flow is kind of meaningless in
right.
a...
Right, in no, a, no, they are accrued expenses, you know. Bill. They're accrued.
Okay, it's, all right. And then, yeah. And I know an ongoing thing, it's actually been going for several years, is there any way to get New York's reports to NEDA to conform with the standard accounting practice? It's been one of the ongoing problems is, you know, things are put in the wrong category and we have cash flow instead of real expenses, and it's a whole lot of extra work for NEDA. Or the, you know, before them, there was the people in the national office that had to try to figure out what the real expenses were. Is there any way to, I think, maybe we should ask Anita if she has recommendations or what she needs.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really answer that question. I'm not sure anybody else in this committee can either. You know, I think there is a problem there, but kind of the problem is what set of books end up, you know, what set of books we should trust. I've always been a fan of double entry accounting because it crops up is like a red flag. It tells you that you've done something wrong and you circle back and you figure out what the problem is and you correct it. Single entry accounting, doesn't have that advantage. It's all open ended. So if there's an error in it, it gets carried and it keeps getting carried forward until you double enter it and reconcile it to cash and all those things that accountants do. So my inclination would be just to, you know, I shouldn't even offer an opinion on it, honestly, because, I have my own way of doing it and it may not agree with anybody else's, but anyway.
Arpal?
I got you, Arpal. You're next.
I think
go ahead, Arpal.
Using GAAP. Am I like on mute?
No, you're not. I think our Paul was next, but I might be wrong. Was it Lyndon?
Oh, well, there must be a lag. There must be a lag. I'm sorry. I apologize. There must be a lag.
Oh, it's okay. Okay.
I've been
go ahead, our Paul.
A couple times. Anyway, I'll be fast. The okay, you're asking Chris if you should send out the what is that? Three or
the
four
the 9:30 P&L.
The thing you sent to
yeah.
Let me get to it.
No, not that. Not that. The actually, I did have a question on that, too. But, yeah, I was really quite unclear there. But, I have the reconciliation report, and I feel pretty comfortable. I mean, it's already clearly leaked out already because I got a reply from Grace today. So I feel pretty comfortable sending it out at this point. No, I was actually talking about the spreadsheets, the P&L spreadsheets from September 30th that Tamara sent me just before she stepped down as ICFO.
Oh, so it's not confidential anymore. Okay.
Well,
by
yeah,
by
I mean.
Way, did you get the, I sent you the list of who's on the mailing list, so.
I got that, yeah, and there's nobody yeah. There's nobody I didn't expect there, so thank you. It just kind of surprised me when
yeah.
that happened.
I
so,
think we
anyway.
Should. I think you should send out the thing from NETA from last year. Yes.
September. Okay. All right. I'll take care of that, and if everybody's relatively okay with my little analysis that I did, I'll send that out as well. Is there any objection to me sending that? My little report and analysis.
I, I don't know that that's something that should go out just yet, because I think there are unreconciled things. And I think you need to talk to the WBAI general manager about...
I'll do that. That's what I was planning. That's exactly what I was planning on doing. So, okay, I'll do that first. Okay, James, you are next on the stack. James?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted. Yeah, that was also what I was going to ask, and I'm glad ARPA already did it. I was going to ask if you had been in conversation with Berthold about these things, especially the one that we went over that he did last time.
Yes.
It was pointed out to me that there were several, that there might be some, as Arpal just pointed out as well, that there might be some corrections that still need to be made to that. So I would agree, don't send it out yet. Let's get Berthold in on the conversation, which I presume you don't want to do now. You'd rather do privately with him through email exchange.
Actually, I tried the email, and it really doesn't work with him. So I'll go ahead and give him a call at this point. I sent an email before asking him to rectify all these things that I found, and I didn't get a reply. So I'll go ahead and call him. I have his number.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Sure. Fred, I think you were next.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the December P&L that Anita Sims said she would have for us before the end of this month.
Yes.
I assume that also covers fiscal year 19. But are you – you're not, that's not what you've been talking about right now. Are you going to release that – you said you
No,
have
I was
that.
Talking about the September 30th.
From last year.
Fiscal year.
Because I kept that confidential. I didn't send it out to my local finance committee. And I've gotten a lot of complaints about
that. What I'm suggesting is that at this point, there's been, there's the few errors that I saw in there. I mean, I went through it pretty thoroughly. I spent, a good amount of time going through and trying to nitpick that stuff and find the more glaring things. I think the real issue here is the accrual stuff, and it's going to end up being a matter of contention for a while until it gets resolved. But it's pointless to struggle against this right now, because I think the numbers are fairly good at this juncture, and it would help station's budget. That's the most important thing, is that it's, it would help the operations of the station.
But
I feel like I'm in hit at this point by holding this stuff back.
But, okay, what I'm asking about is the new data, the FY20 P&L. Are you going to send that out? Because we need to get some visibility into what's going on currently.
Right. I will. And until I resolve the question that we just resolved, like, within the last 30 seconds here, I was kind of reluctant to do that because it felt like putting the cart before the horse. I was going to deliver a later item than the September 30th one. I haven't even opened that document yet because I've been hammering away at this September 30th silliness for quite a while now. And just to be clear, in case for those of you who haven't heard me say this before, I was really uncertain who I should be dealing with between the time Tamara left and the time Anita was hired. And because of the holidays in combination with that, it just led me to the conclusion that, I should just wait and see who was seated as ICFO so I could actually have some of these questions answered. So I really didn't start asking questions about those reports until the first week of January. And that's why they're so late getting out. It wasn't because I thought they should be kept secret. It was because there were questions that I had that I didn't feel I had a contact person within the organization to ask. And so that's just kind of how it fell out. And, to the extent that an apology is necessary, I certainly offer a contrite one. I just didn't quite know what to do. I felt like I was kind of handcuffed. Anyway, so that's how that all played out.
Okay. I just wanted to
go ahead.
I just wanted to let people know that, at the KPFK local state finance committee meetings, we've literally had riots the last couple of months, people demanding financials. And it's And I don't know what to tell people. I tell them that I'm not getting them, and therefore they're not getting forwarded to them. I even know that there are people in my area that are calling NITA on their own trying to get information, which I can't prevent them from doing that. But that's, I understand NITA's getting a lot of calls from people they don't know. And that's very disturbing.
Yeah, and actually, that would explain an email I got from Anita earlier on today, basically pressuring me to get that stuff out too. And, this was after I asked her whether those changes had been made to the financials that had already been suggested, and she answered yes to that question. So, I'm absolutely going to get that done. I will get it done within the next 24 hours, and we'll pull up, the December 31st ones, and if those look okay, and I don't have any questions on those that I think should be answered before they get, before they're likely to cause more harm than good, basically, then I'll go ahead and distribute those as well. So once again, I apologize for the delay. It was, if you need to tell anybody anything, you probably won't at this point since I'm basically volunteering to get that stuff out. But if you need to answer that question in the future, it was just because we had no ICFO. And so we didn't have anybody who could answer the basically the financials were given to us and then the ICFO was no longer present in the organization. So I didn't have a point of contact within the finance arm of the, organization. So that's what happened. But, we're going to run out of time here. Go ahead.
I'm going to refer people to this, meeting discussion, to get a better insight what's going on. Thank you.
Okay, sure. I would like to move to extend the meeting for 10 minutes. We have a time certain coming up in 6, and I want to leave enough time to have a bit of a big loan discussion.
I second that.
Okay. Is there anybody who objects to that motion?
5 minutes.
Hearing no you think we can do it? You think we can do it in 10, Bill? We have to shorten your item to 10.
Well,
will that work for you?
I know. We can try. We can't get very far.
I seconded a motion to extend
that's
it by
true.
10, didn't I?
That's
by
yes, you did. So that. We should vote on it if there's an objection. Unless I guess that's an amended motion, or can you amend the extension?
No, okay.
I can't even remember.
I'm trying to get what people said. It sounded like people said 5. If people are saying 10, is it 10 now? Is the motion
10? 10.
Okay.
It's 10. Are there any objections to extending for 10 minutes? Okay, hearing none, we'll... Okay, so our time certain was 10:15, and now it's 10:25.
Oh.
Okay.
Are we going to go into closed session for this?
I don't think we're going to need to. I don't think so. Can anybody think of a reason why we would need to go into closed session for this? I mean, we were basically going to talk about how, I think, on how the loan would ultimately get paid. I think that was kind of the basis of this discussion. And
yes,
whether we have any plan for that.
This is London to the stack. I do think we should
go ahead,
into
Lindy.
Closed sessions. I do think we should go into closed sessions so we could have a very candid discussion. It's only 10 or 15
okay.
minutes.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair?
I think it should be an open
session. Yes.
Have we just gone? Are we now in the big loan discussion item?
We are. We are. This is item, I'm sorry, this is item 7.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, R. Paul. That was really unclear. Bill wants it kept open. Let's hear the argument for keeping it open, Bill. I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
Well, we're not going to have time to go into the details. I think we just need to talk in the big picture and maybe come up with a list of questions for NITA. And, you know, we're going to have to talk about it more next week or next meeting anyway. That's my feeling. But, yeah, we can still do a short executive session after that if you want. But let's try to at least start out in the open session.
Okay. Is there any... Jen, keeping this open, because I think we can do it if we keep it general.
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm
okay.
Finished.
Okay. So let's, yes.
Mr. Chair? Yeah. We have given our notice of this meeting is open. So unless we want to try and say, oh, we can do whatever we please, which I know some people seem to think they can do, we can't go into an executive session without giving notice that we're going into an executive session a week in advance. Now we could set
one up
for the next meeting.
We can go into closed session anytime.
That's not how we've gotten it interpreted in the past.
Robert's rules.
All right. Robert's rules does not count in the FCC and the CPB. And, you know, so that's a different thing. The issue is we have to be in compliance with the FCC and the CPB, and they require open meetings stuff.
Yeah, unless something required to be enclosed.
What was that?
They don't say you have to give notice if you're going to go into closed session.
Yeah, you have to give. All right. We've been told for some years now that you can't just go right into a closed session, that you have to give notice of it before, with the notice of the meeting.
Yeah, we were told wrong.
Well, or maybe you were. The thing
okay,
is,
okay.
You know, we have a compliance officer. We have an open meetings compliance officer in Pacifica. Maybe somebody needs to get him to make a definitive announcement about this that we'll just follow from then on and hope he's right.
Lyndon, for the fact.
We have him on our calls all the time to cut off a stream when we go into closed session on the PNP. He hasn't said we can't do it.
Okay, we're having quite a bit of crosstalk here. I think we should just subject this to a vote. Can we take a roll call on who wants to move this to closed session? Just say closed or open, Ollie.
Well, could we have a motion of some sort? Because the minutes need to have
okay.
a motion.
Okay. So, okay.
I motion that we move this into a closed session.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I know that we, I'll go ahead and second the motion just so we can get it moving. And I know that there's an objection to it. So, let's take a tally for and against moving this to session. Closed session, sorry. Pardon me.
All right, the motion is to go to a closed session. Sharon Adams.
No.
Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
I'd like to pass.
Chris Corey.
No.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, no. Mansoor Sabah? James Sagerton?
No.
Sims, Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Going back, Nick Arena? Fred Blair?
No.
And everybody else was here. 2-4, 6 against.
All right. So I'm gonna ask us for an additional time extension I guess we don't need it because that was all procedural. So we have an extra 10 minutes on this item. So we'll go to 10:31 on this before time certain, and then call it an evening.
News to me.
What's that?
What's that? Yeah, I mean, okay, so you're saying it because this was about what we were going to do, that it didn't count, and we added time somehow?
Yeah, it was.
That's
I mean, it was all Okay. All right. I can move for another 6 minutes then. I will move for another 6 minutes. Does anybody object to that motion to extend for 6 minutes more? Okay. Hearing no objection, we're good for 15 on this item. Go ahead, Bill. It was your idea to place this on the agenda. Go ahead and start off the discussion on it.
Okay, thank you. Well, this is kind of the big elephant in the room. You know, we're struggling to figure out how we can pay our regular operating expenses and pay back accounts payable, invoices we owe to vendors, and the interest on the loan. We're not quite sure where the money's going to come up for that, but the really big thing is this $3.2 million that's due in a little over a year from now. And, you know, there's been some vague talk about some people about refinancing a loan maybe. I can't imagine hardly any lender would be willing to do it considering our credit unless they charge a really high interest rate, which would cost us even more. And I don't know if the current lender would be willing to refinance. I'm doubtful, but, you know, if we're chance of doing that, we need to at least make sure we get the interest paid. And I'm just kind of stunned. We don't have any plan at all on how to deal with this. And it's coming up in a little over a year, and if we need to be making preparations, we need to be thinking about it right now. And meanwhile, we have all of our buildings and all the contents of the buildings and the contents of even not our buildings, like our transmitters and everything else, all mortgaged as collateral, and even our intellectual property. And all that's at risk if we can't come up with a plan on how to pay off that loan. So that's just what I'll just throw that open for right now.
Okay. So I'm going to take a little chair privilege here and comment on this because this item has come up a little bit, but not in a formal way. And so there's been some suggestions bandied about. The primary one was how to make the interest payments through the time that the loan comes up. And what was discussed was doing a national fund drive. The average cost per member would be $10 to fund the interest through the end of the loan. So that seems like a good thing to do. And I hope that this has been mentioned to Lydia. She seemed interested in the idea. So I hope that that's something that actually comes to pass at the PMB level. But here's something maybe a little bit more interesting to everybody. And that's that, you know, this is an organization of over 50,000 members. And it seems reasonable to me that we could approach our members and tell them that we're basically facing an existential crisis if we don't get the loan paid and ask them if they could possibly fork over $60 to retire the loan. I know it doesn't sound like it would do it, but the math works. So, you know, if we could have a national fund drive for the principal payment, that would be pretty great. And so those are the two things that I just thought I'd toss out there. But like I say, neither of them is an informal discussion right now, really. It's just a casual talk between friends and associates.
Arpal?
Anyone else? Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, okay, so the idea is for the interest to have a an on-air fundraiser nationwide and ask everybody for $10 each, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're thinking maybe on top of that, have another one and ask everybody to chip in $60 each to retire the loan?
I was thinking to offer those two things at the same time, honestly. In other words, it would be kind of like what we do for most of our fund drives in terms of premium offers. It's just kind of a it's a removing the sting instead of a you know, an actual gift premium, and that is you know, if all you can afford is $10, that'll take care of our interest payments through the end of the loan. If you can afford $60, then we will commit that to the principal of the loan and just work it that way. And you know, hopefully that would, and we do that. I mean, you could just do a set aside based on proceeds. and just take them however they come in and dedicate them to whoever, whichever level of premium that you're, or not premium, whichever level of contribution that you're putting out there. And like I say, you know, maybe somebody will come up with different math than I do, but I think that's probably about right.
What you're talking about is a complicated pitch because you're giving people two different things. It's complicated because you've got to try and make it clear in their minds what you're doing.
What you're offering.
And
yeah.
On top of that, you know, you're going to get some tens and some sixties, and you're going to get that. And really, what's really going to happen is it's all going to go into one slush fund to try and pay
right.
stuff off. And maybe
yeah.
you'll get enough
you're
to
right.
pay off interest, you know, get all the way up to the interest. But then you may not have enough left to pay off the whole loan, but you'll have some. So then you have to figure out how you handle that particular idea. But if this is going to be done, it probably needs to be done really soon because we don't want to, you know, wait a while and then see, here's our big salvation. We'll go on the air and pitch. And then it
yeah,
dives,
totally.
You know, to the bottom of
yeah.
the ocean and you're standing there saying, oh, that failed. Oh, there's not a lot of time left. So if we're going to try
exactly.
this, this probably needs to happen very, very soon, except that everybody's going into their winter thons right now. So there's a complication.
Yep.
James for the
yeah.
stack.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I, of course, like the idea, and I've been promoting the idea of a national fundraiser for some time. I'm just a little concerned about the idea that we it would be presented as the cure or the solution to the problem. And we know what happens when we do fundraising. We get percentage of what we hope to get, and then we don't get fulfillment all the time. So we're likely to come up short. So I wouldn't want to bill it as the final, about to say final solution. That would be unfortunate. I don't want to bill it as the final fix for what we're trying to do. So that we don't then get people saying, well, what the hell? We just went through this. You know, you just did this before. I thought we already solved that problem. So that's just, you know, and I along those lines, I would say, I hope that we can get discussion with the, IED and, the station managers to give us help to figure out, you know, what the best way to approach all of these things are.
Okay,
thank you.
James. Thanks. Thanks. Anyone else?
Yes, this is Lyndon for the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
I had proposed to you, Chris, a couple months ago, and I've told a few other people, I told Bill, my proposal is sort of like you, but I was being more commercial and more return-oriented. I was thinking of getting KPFT members who want to invest for a return of about maybe 3 or 4%. And I think we came up with $71 a person based on 45,000 people, which correlates pretty much to your $60 a person. But that is an offer. You're giving something to people and they give back. And not only that, they can, when they get a return, they can use that as their pledge to the station. Anyway, that's an alternative. I know it's a little commercial for Pacifica, but so be it.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Lynn. What's that?
Request for information?
Sure, go ahead.
I thought I heard our Paul first, if he wants to go ahead.
No, I was just, I'll just say fast. That's a big thing for investment, and a prospectus would have to go out and, you know, I don't know that Pacifica in its current situation is capable of doing that without running afoul of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
May I reply? That I agree with you. I do not know any of that. I'm not a securities lawyer, or a broker or anything. And so I agree with you when you said we got to have to get started on something now, because this is something, if we were to explore it, it would take some time.
And to do it would take some time. So I'm just throwing this is something that came to me when I was thinking. I have been thinking about this problem, so I came up with something.
Yeah, I actually discussed the possibility of a bond offering at one point, and I kind of got laughed at. I can tell you how it breaks down. I did a little tiny bit of research on it, and that's that there's a difference between, of course, a private offering and a public offering, and the private offerings are much, there's no reason to do a public offering for this because we have members. So we could do a private offering. It would end up having to be a junk bond kind of offering, but we have a very, how shall we put it, charitable
loyal
group of members, loyal. And so some of these issues kind of fall away. You know, you don't have to fight for yield with a crowd like this. You could just offer them something that they couldn't get on the open market. I mean, I'm having trouble getting 1.5% right now. I don't know about anybody else, but, 3 or 4 sounds amazing to me. But anyway, that was my 2 cents. Anybody else for the stack? We got 3 minutes left.
Yeah, James, I yielded to R. Paul.
Okay, go ahead, R. Paul.
I'm done.
No, I said I yielded to R. Paul, but I wanted to be on the stack.
Okay, go ahead, James.
Okay, so... Arpaul's concerns were my concerns, so that killed two birds with one stone. But I heard we should invest, but immediately my antenna went up and said, invest in what? And then I heard, well, maybe a bond offering, and maybe I don't know, are we talking about mutual funds? What exactly are we talking about investing in?
Well, I was looking at it. I was looking at it when I first brought it up. Is like it would be a mortgage, so it would be something long term that the stations would be able to pay back. And even then, it would be difficult over 30 years. When I first mentioned this, Chris said, 10 is one thing, but 30. I mean, because there's people that say, okay, $2,000, I'll put in two. So that way you eliminate all the people who would put in the 10 but can't do the 60, because people really would want to get a little bit of return. But there's plenty of problems, no doubt.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? 1 minute. Final comment? All right, I'm going to assume for the moment that we don't have any new business. Am I correct or incorrect about that? I'm not hearing any takers. I'm looking through the agenda just to make sure that I got it all right here. Yes, I did. Okay, so when is our next meeting time? I guess it's going to be just a regular second Tuesday, February 11th. Okay, there it is. I see it. Okay. So our next meeting time is February 11th at, I'm going to get it right this time, 8:39. And in the meantime, I will get out the P&Ls within the next day, and I will review the 12/31 P&Ls, and if I don't see any issues with them, I'll send them out as well. If I do see some issues with them, I'll copy in the NFC and along with that list of questions so that you know exactly what's going on. And I hope that relieves some of the pressure, particularly at K. I had no idea that near riots were taking place over these things. So I appreciate everybody's patience and tolerance on this. I'm just trying to make sure that we eliminate disagreements, the obvious disagreements before they happen. And it's just kind of my cautious nature. And I apologize to anybody I inconvenienced by being so cautious. I'll put that on the next agenda. I will absolutely put that, and it'll get a fulsome amount of time, Bill. Yeah, I appreciate you bringing it up, and I think it's something that we should be talking about. And we'll also circle back, I guess, for a formal, no, I don't know. Maybe we can do it by email. We might be able to do it by email. We might be able to circulate a motion by email. Lyndon, you can work on that a little bit, and hopefully we can get something that's presentable, but. I also need to talk to WBAI, so I'll take care of that too. Anyway, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Actually, we don't need one. If you just announce we're adjourned, that's it.
Okay. Okay, we are adjourned. We're past time, and I appreciate everybody's attendance tonight, and I look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks. Good night.